My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Tom Withers was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. Says your Guardians are in a battle.
Here they are again. You know, they dropped 5 in a row. They win 7 in a row. Now they drop 3 in a row. I think they're 14-15 since the All-Star break. The good thing is that they were able to, you know, put some money in the bank with that great start in the first half. So hopefully they can hold on. Obviously, 3 big games coming up against Kansas City next week. I think 7 total against the Royals between now and the end of the year. They're going to get the Twins here, 4 at home. So people wanted exciting baseball in August and September, and you got it.
Well, you
got
to have it. I got to get this team to the postseason. That's, to me, that's the reward. I can't sit there and say World Series to anybody with strong gusto, but I think I would look at this and go, okay, this is a postseason team at the end of 2024. What can I look forward to in 2025 because of who I have in this lineup? And then we'll have spirited discussions this winter. Do I really rely on David Fry after he fell off? Like, I'm only going by what I know as of August 20th. Like, what do I go with David Fry after he fell off? Stephen Kwan, such a great start to the season, where Mike Axsis of CBS Sports was saying that he was going to bat 400 this year. And now, what's he at, 316?
Has he got to hold on to even 300?
Which is still, 300 is a good batting average. But when you start off and you're at 390, 396 at one point in professional baseball, you know, some folks are saying, my goodness, can you finish at 400? And it's a steep drop-off. It is a steep, steep drop-off for him. And he's the one who sets the table. Because when he's on base, yeah, if they're sitting dead red and waiting for home runs, which I hate that they do, but if they're sitting and waiting for home runs, if he's already on base, I can get a two-run homer and get me back into a ball game here. Because they've hit a couple of home runs. But I told you last week, it's a solo shot. And it makes it a two-run game instead of a three-run game. It's another solo shot. Like, they had that one frustrating game on a getaway day a couple of weeks ago where it's against Arizona, where it was just they would get a little closer and Arizona would get a little further away. And they get a little closer and Arizona would get a little further away because it was solo shot, solo shot, solo shot, nothing else because your leadoff hitter isn't on base. And so right now, yeah, it feels like a postseason series. If they were to lose all three, I think I'd be as down in the mouth as I possibly could be about this baseball team. If they won 2 out of 3, I'd be hopefully saying that, yeah, the season ain't over. We didn't lock up anything, but I got to get back into a good grace, into a good track, and prove that I can get to the postseason here.
Yeah, I haven't felt that way, obviously. It's been one of the, I think, the features of our conversations over the last month. I haven't been living and dying because there's just so much baseball left, but I don't think you can afford to you know, look as listless as you did against a really good team in Milwaukee and then follow it up again with a series like that in New York. So I do think they'll be properly motivated. They know going into New York, especially, my God, Josh Naylor knows what's ahead of him in New York, playing in that stadium after what happened last time. I do think that they will be charged up. This will be a test, too, of Stephen Vogt. You know, does this team have the ability to now adjust a little bit? They know how they've been pitching. They know what their lineup has been doing. So it's going to be a huge, huge matchup for them. And then, you know, obviously you want to see the pitching. Alex Cobb, that stinks. I mean, just that is just bad news to get at this stage of the game. It's not anything that's going to, like, jeopardize his season, but, you know, it's annoying, you know, the fact that he's on the 15-day DL when the last time you saw him against the Cubs, he was pretty damn good and got us to be really encouraged.
Yeah. By the way, before I get to Scott Petrak and what he said about defensive tackles here, because this is actually a pretty decent idea, but I want to see if I agree with it. Do you rock the baby if you're Josh Naylor and you hit a home run today?
Oh, I think he will.
Okay.
I absolutely think he will.
Just making sure.
Right? He's not shying away from that. That is the only thing I think Yankees fans know about him, right?
Yeah. That, and he looks like Jimmy Smits. Someone called him Thick Jimmy Smits once on the internet, and I thought that that was pretty good. Just making sure. All right, Scott Petrak was on Baskin and Phelps yesterday. Came up with a pretty decent idea. I want to see if anybody else agrees with it. Hit it.
I'm sure some team has a tackle position that they feel pretty good about. And if I were the Browns, yeah, they have a ton of D tackles. You could trade one of them in the hope of getting an offensive tackle, right? Like, to me, that makes the most sense. Whether it's Siaki Ika or somebody else along that front, they have a bunch of D tackles.
I'd rather trade Siaki Ika than leave Siaki Ika on this roster, because I don't know if he's going to naturally make this roster. I would like to trade Siaki Ika for something.
Well, he was a third-round pick.
Yeah, and he was playing at the end of the game against the Vikings on Saturday. What's that tell you about him right now?
Is that foreboding?
Petrak actually went further. Get me Petrak 03 real quick if you can. He actually went further on Siaki Ika. I mean, for all the Andrew Berry lovers, and you and I are both... Do you like Andrew Berry? Are you a lover of Andrew Berry?
Yeah, I like him.
All right,
him a lot.
So we really like Andrew Berry. Yeah, this one kind of is going against Andrew here. Hit it.
Maybe they find a team that is willing to take him or that wants him, because I think there's a couple things in play. I don't think he's the fit for the Jim Schwartz scheme. And I know the whole turn you from a dump truck into a Ferrari or whatever that quote was on draft night. I just don't think Ika has that in him. I think if he's going to have a role in the NFL, it's as a big guy that holds down two blockers. So maybe a team's looking for him and they liked him, or looking for that and they liked him coming out. But I don't think he's a fit. I mean, the most they keep at D-tackle is five, right? And I don't think he's one of those five guys at all. And every time I kind of focus on him, I don't see him make a play, and I see his kind of back get turned to the line of scrimmage. I hate to say it this early, but I think he's a bust.
Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram saying those things. I can't deny any of it so far. It seems to be, and I know there's no such thing as a classic 3-4 or 4-3 defense anymore. There's a lot of it's all hybrid, and you got a lot of 5 DB sets and things like that. I think he's more of a classic, exactly as Scott said, 3-4, taking on two guys, doing a lot of physical labor to basically create a pile for other guys to go out there and make tackles. And every now and then you sneak through and you make a tackle for a loss here and there, or you stone a guy at the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. That's kind of what Siaki Ika is. This defense, look at who they took in the draft. Michael Hall's supposed to be a guy who can pass rush. You see what this defense is when you brought in Quentin Jefferson, who had 6.5 sacks last year. Maurice Hurst has been able to get sacks. Dalvin Tomlinson has been able to do it. Like, they went out and got guys who in the interior rush the passer. Siaki Ika is not naturally like that. And I don't know if he's going to make this team. So I feel, yeah, a trade would probably be for best.
Man, now, top what was he? Top 100 pick, right?
He's third round. I don't know if he was top 100. Yeah, I think he was. But if he was third round, then he had to be top 100. It seems like a miss for Andrew Berry. Totally seems like a miss for Andrew Berry. But what am I going to get back for him? Because I'm not going to sit there and assume that other general managers are stupid. And they're just going to give me their treasure for our... I'm not trying to call Siaki Ika trash, but you get what I'm saying here. For a guy who we definitely can give up already a year after we drafted him in the third round. They're not going to necessarily give us the very best. Like, you're not getting Trent Williams out there. But do you need to make a trade with this football team? I got Jed Wills, who's got to be about to come back at some point. And I can't just put Jack Conklin over there at left tackle, so I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to that. But Jed Wills is bound to come back here at some point. So do I make a strong move for anybody when I know I'm going to have Jed Wills coming back, even though I think a lot of people are getting frustrated with him.
Did we get any timetable on Jed Wills at all?
I got nothing.
So this has to be a little bit of a surprise.
I got absolutely nothing.
To the organization, unfortunately. What a bad time for this, too.
I would assume so.
Considering huge contract year for him. I mean, this could be a career-defining year for him. I mean, the ability to... If he has just an average year, he's going
to
get paid.
I got something to say on this as well. I've seen a lot of people getting into my mentions. We haven't had a caller say it yet, thank God. And I'm probably going to have to say this again. I've had a lot of people bring up Nick Chubb and that horrific injury and how Nick, I mean, we are debating whether or not he's going to be ready to go week one or if they're going to put him on the 4-week PUP and maybe see him at the beginning of October or something like that, which would probably be more reasonable for everybody out there, frankly. But there is conversation about, well, would you leave him active? Could you see him week one, week two, somewhere in there? I'm getting a lot of people giving me this conversation comparing Nick Chubb's injury to Jed Wills. I'm not going to lie, I've sat there and I thought it myself, but it's an unfair thing to think of. Jed Wills was hurt later in the season. I'm not clear on exactly what Jed Wills' injury was. I'm not clear yet on what Jed Wills' recovery time was. They've said he's worked hard. I know that there's been questions about Jed's motivation and his motor in the past, which those things have been bandied by people in buildings, in that building, and so that doesn't bode well for him when people are trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Everybody knows Nick Chubb is an amazing player, but also an extremely hard worker. So you put all your stock behind Nick Chubb being able to come back, but it makes him look a little bit worse when we're seeing videos of Nick doing the squats, doing the sprints, doing what's necessary, and yeah, when people see Jed Wills in street clothes, they get bothered by it. But I cannot say he's not working hard to get himself back or he's not doing what's necessary to get himself back. People heal at different times. The injuries probably, I would imagine it's different. It happened at a different time later in the season. I can't espouse any of those opinions and be correct about it.
Well, let's think about the fight that we've been in with Jedrick Wills, you know, the people that have wanted him gone now for the better part of 2 years. We have always defended him by saying it hasn't been a great defense. I got to be honest. It's not been a great defense to say, well, there's a lot worse left tackles than him. Fans don't want to hear that. They want the next Joe Thomas. They want the next guy who's going to hold that down for a decade, as if those guys grow on trees. And then to not even be able to see Jedrick Wills, and then have the organization seem to throw their hands up in the air and go, we have no idea. I mean, I have people in my mentions yesterday, people DMing me about how many surgeries did Jed Wills have, like what's going on there? We don't know. I mean, we're not hearing a lot about him.
216-474-0092. We got people in on this. Should they make a trade for an offensive tackle? Should we stand pat and wait on Jed Wills to be healthy again? That sentence coming out of my mouth just does not seem to be realistic or responsible. And that's whole part of the reason why it's like, nope, don't want to have to play Deshaun Watson on Saturday with a backup's backup and a guy who probably isn't even on the roster yet and hasn't been announced yet. Fans of camp.
Today the penultimate day?
I think today, yes. Penultimate means right before the ultimate, right? Okay. Today and tomorrow are days with fans of camp. So enjoy. Go there, enjoy, get autographs, have a fun time. Sorry there's not that many open dates for it. I hope that they have more open dates in the future. I assume they will, but with all the construction going on, I assume they won't hear very shortly in the next year. Because there's still a lot of things going on. A lot of irons and a lot of fires for everybody involved there.
Weather's going to be good for it, though. Don't have to worry about
it. Oh, yeah, sunburn.
They had, was it 2 weeks? Well, that day that the tornadoes came through was a fans' day.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God, that's right.
That got canceled a little early.
How hot is it supposed to be today? Like 65?
Yeah,
is that the hottest?
Be
my type of perfect, Kenny.
Cleveland, I'm seeing 68 maybe at the...
Do you?
Oh, yes.
An ultimate temperature.
Yesterday, we had the windows open, that nice breeze.
Well, AC's off at my house.
There was a charge in the air. I absolutely loved it.
This is going to sound really stupid. I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to ask it anyway. Can you still get sunburn if it's sunny in like 60s?
Yes.
You can?
You can get sunburned with clouds.
Let me tell you about ultraviolet radiation.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. I've just never been able to. I'm like, well, wait a minute. The sun is the sun. But if it's the middle of winter, I can't get sunburned in the middle of winter.
Astute observation, Ken. The sun is the sun.
Somebody, if you're going to work at NASA right now, there's got to be a scientist out there. Like, if I go out there and I'm shirtless in the month of February, but it's like 60 degrees outside. Like, we get one of those warm February days that happen, you know, every like 5 years. Say you go out there and it's like a weird day and it's warm. Can I get sunburned in February? Or is the sun too far away from me? Ah,
whoa. I think you can still, I feel like I've been sunburnt in the wrong time of the year before.
You and I are fair-skinned.
What are you trying to say?
We get easily sunburned. I mean, I walk by under these lights, I get sunburned. Everybody thinks like Ken Sutton. Like, no, I'm under these lights underneath here. I would feel like I could get sunburned in 60-degree weather. But I didn't know whether or not you could or could. Like I said, oh, no sunburn. I go, well, I don't know if you can't get sunburned then.
I think we get some of those rare sunny days in like February.
Yes.
Right? Where there's snow on the ground.
Where you can get sunburned, but maybe.
I think it absolutely can happen.
I'm not sure. You know what? Wear sunscreen.
Where are high elevation areas in Cleveland, Ohio?
You wear your sunscreen or your hook or whatever they call it, the fishing gear. Wear that and make sure you're taken care of.
Is it like there a spot on Hiram's campus where it's like the highest area in Northeast Ohio?
I haven't been on Hiram's campus. Do you think I've been on Hiram's
campus? Somebody looked that up.
Boy, you're really interested in training camp talk, aren't you?
We had the basketball camp there back in the day. I think that was a claim to fame.
They're the highest point in Ohio?
Northeast Ohio. One of the highest.
I don't know. I've never been there. Michael Stanley went there. That's the only thing I really know about. And their football history is not that extravagant. That's the only thing I know about Hiram College. And that is the training camp update.
There you go. Boom. Take that.
Brought to you by Genesee Brewing Company and Circa Resorts and Casino.
Rob Bob says you can get sunburned in winter on the reflection of the sun off the snow.
Okay. I've got Campbell Hill and Bellefontaine, Ohio.
Bellefontaine.
I think it's called Bell Fountain. I mean, that's how they say it
Bell
over
Fountain.
There.
Bell Fountain.
Steve says, I say package Jed Wills, Ika, and a fifth-round pick to get an OT, and if need be, David Bell. So we're just giving up everybody Steve doesn't like to get an offensive tackle.
Oh, they'll take that.
I think to get a quality offensive tackle, it's going to take a whole lot. To get a guy who can just hold down the fort, maybe you can give up Siaki Ika or somebody. I'd rather just trade Siaki Ika than just have to cut him. So if I can get somebody's backup just to hold down. And then by the time Jed Wills comes back, I don't know what you do with Jack Conklin. That's a totally different conversation over at right tackle. Like, I'm not just inserting Jack Conklin back in at the starting right tackle, right? DeJuan Jones has done a very fine job. Money's money. It's not my money, so I'll just keep Jack Conklin as a swing tackle just in case. Maybe I'd like to do that. Unless he's that horrific over there swinging at the left side once he's able to come back.
Yeah, just especially considering the injuries, right? I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah, that's the only thing, because I don't know when Jed Wills is going to be able to come back. I mean, at this point, we are 3 weeks away from the start of the season. If he starts practicing, he'd practice next week. And then what? You're just going to get him ready for we're not going to see him, and then he's just going to be ready for week one against Dallas. It'll still make me feel better than whoever they were to bring in at this juncture. The kickoff rule is different. Do you like the kickoff rule? Because the numbers have come out and it said it's not that much different from what the returns and everything are not that much different from what we saw before.
It's just been very blah, the early returns so far on the kickoff. It has not really generated any kind of big time excitement. It hasn't been a transformative play yet. I did ask you yesterday off the air, like, is that just because every team is concealing? I mean, we know, what did they ask Cade York to do over the weekend? Is kick it out of bounds.
Kick it out of
the end zone. What is it going to be when it's actually live ball in play, and teams, are they going to mix and match their returners? Are they going to put different kind of weapon?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Henry back in the return game, but so far it hasn't really been anything to speak of. You know, we're studying every kickoff because we want more data, as much data as humanly possible, mm-hmm. to figure out, is there inefficiency here? Is there something to exploit? Is there something that the analytics crowd is going to take advantage of with the new rule?
I don't think we're going to see anything until week one. I think that's when people are going to unveil something. They're kicking things out of bounds, and it makes me think Bubba Ventrone might have found something that he doesn't want anybody to see. It also makes me think other special teams coordinators have got something that they don't want other people to see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're just going to continue to kick the ball out of bounds and just take whatever loss they're going to get? Or I should say, not out of bounds, but kick it through the end zone so it's not at the 40. It would be the 30.
I think Mike Vrabel had talked about this a few weeks ago when he's someone who we thought would be perfect. What a perfect guy who understands loopholes and how to take advantage of them, mm-hmm. and someone who's studied special teams like he has, somebody with his career. And he, I think, tended to think that it's going to be pretty boring. And so I guess my question is, if it turns out that, you know, teams end up just kicking the ball through the end zone, what do we do with that information? What would the NFL do with that if that's the first 6 weeks of the year? There really is no big boost to this play. It's a forgettable play.
But I don't understand.
It's a waste of time play.
Why they would just keep kicking the ball through the end zone and just give up the ball at the 30-yard line. Like, I need to see where they're going to be first before I say there's substantial evidence to say that the 30-yard line works. If I'm consistently just getting, like, the worst thing I think for this rule would be if they get the, if it's a consistent non-touchdown, but it's consistently at the 36. If it's consistently a return at the 36-yard line or something like that, Anthony, then, yeah, I guess I'll kick it out through the back of the end zone and just deal with the ball at the 30. But if I can get you stopped at the 26-yard line, 4 yards is 4 yards. I'm not going to give you the ball at the 30. I'm not just going to risk giving you the ball at the 30. I will risk playing defense and stopping you 4 yards short.
Well, yeah, but if they are returning, let's say the one thing I was fearful with this when it came out, just not having known, you know, NFL caliber athletes, and if they put their, if the Tyreek Hills of the world, if they're all of a sudden, in the return game. We'll just use him as an extreme example because he's such a freak.
Mm-hmm.
If all of a sudden, you know, the average starting field position in the NFL is like your own 46. Yeah, they're just gonna kick the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, they're gonna. But I don't want to
gladly give that. They'll gladly take the 30 as opposed to, you know, the 46.
But this is something I want to see here, because there's a chance that other guy, like a James Prochet. James Prochet is not a number one wide receiver. Like the fastest guy. Who's the fastest guy in the Browns? At the top of your head, like I'm guessing. I have no idea. I don't think it's Amari Cooper. I would not say
Cooper. No,
not by a long shot. Would it probably be either Elijah Moore, maybe Jerry Jeudy? Say it's Elijah Moore, right? It's a bad example because I think we're looking for any way to get a guy on the field. Okay, you mentioned Tyreek Hill. If you're the Dolphins, do you want to put Tyreek Hill in harm's way with a rule that's supposed to take advantage of this? Or do you want to take a guy who you know can fly but does not have the type of overall prowess that a guy like Tyreek Hill has, and let him make it play for you? Like, I was sitting there thinking of James Prochet. James Prochet is not a number one wide receiver. He's a kick returner. Same thing with Jalen Darden. So could you put them back there to return kicks? That's their impact to the game. Like, I still have guys returning kicks who aren't household names.
Well, I thought the point of this play was that it was going to be safer, right?
Yeah.
So if it's safer for the return guy, why wouldn't you want your most athletic, best guys in potential space to be out there?
Because A,
changing field position.
A, safer doesn't mean foolproof that nobody's ever going to get hurt. You're just doing what you can to make it safer.
But guys can get injured on an end around. I don't understand what's the difference here.
Let me tell you here. This is the second. If I have a good kick returner, why should I put my number one wide receiver out there so he can get gassed on a kick return, where if I get a kick return to the 47-yard line, here we are. Now I can just use him on the first play. Let's see if we can strike. Let's see if we can put him on their heels and strike here. This is a moment we can strike.
But aren't you?
And I'm still using.
Aren't you calling? What I mean to me, just philosophically, and you can knock this down. Tell me why it's not.
I'm not sure.
Isn't this like a first down play? I mean, if you really thought you had an advantage in the return game, which again, we don't know. We're speculating. We don't know what Bubba Ventrone thinks. But if this is our first down of the series,
yes,
then why wouldn't we try to, especially if we can get a 30-yard chunk? I mean, isn't that best case scenario? What's better than that?
On every return are you talking about?
Yeah.
Or just one return are you talking about?
Well, every return. That's if you think that you have a scheme that can take advantage of this, let's say this is a transition year in the NFL, and the rules are something that can be taken advantage of.
It's hard
then
for me.
Why
to,
aren't you using your most dynamic player on it if it's safe? If you feel truly that the NFL did their work and it's safe.
It's hard for me to answer that because I haven't seen what scheme that they could come up with that would work. So once I see a scheme that could come with that would work, like I don't know what Bubba Ventrone has planned for week one against Dallas. And they're kicking the ball through the end zone. So if I don't know, I can't answer that question.
Now the other thing, we talked about this on the phone. What happens if, like, 4 weeks into the NFL season, everybody has come up with their diabolical ways to try to do this, and it turns out it's a big dud? There's no big, exciting play here, or maybe they are just all kicking the ball out of bounds. I mean, in the end zone. I keep saying out of bounds. Out of bounds
is punitive. If the average ends up being 31 yards, they will kick the ball out of the bounds.
Well, and if
they're
that's
never
the going
to give up yards they don't have to.
And if that's the case, then should we be done with this once and for all, and it should just be once I'm done with the ball, once I score a touchdown, you just get the ball at the 30? Like, take this play out completely. Like, kind of like what they did to an extra point in the old way. The old extra point was so pointless that they legislated it out of the game.
Were you saying they could do that halfway through the year?
No, I'm just saying that what would be the point? This would be a big waste of everybody's time.
Because it's not so hokey where they would take it out before the season starts. Like, there's been rules in the past, very, very few of them that they've tried in the preseason, went, no, we're not going to do this in the regular season. I don't think that this is one of those. But, man, I think you have to have a kickoff of some sort.
I guess I'd ask
a chance
why,
for excitement.
Especially if they're not allowing an onside kick, right?
You have to announce an onside kick, and once you announce the onside kick, you can't take it back.
Right.
So everybody in the stadium knows you have an onside kick. But a kick return, it's always going to be an advantage for a kick return team. A kick return for a touchdown, or like say you fumble the ball or something like that, somewhere in there, like there's always going to be a chance for a big play somewhere on a kickoff, and I think that that's what you're giving the fans. You're giving them excitement. So I think what the NFL is hoping is that there are enough touchdowns or enough kick return touchdowns that excites the fans, but there's enough stops at the 25-yard line or 26-yard line that makes it enticing for teams to make sure they kick off. If the average return is over 30 yards, and you're right, they're just going to kick the ball through the end zone and that's going to be the end of it. But if they find a way to stop him at the 24 or whatever, or inside of the 30-yard line, they're just going to do that. And that would be the perfect sweet spot. A couple of touchdowns and stopped inside the 30, because that means the teams are still going to kick off. Now, I can't guarantee that that's going to happen. Usually smart people and like special teams coordinators are smart guys. Usually smart people take every single rule and try to find an advantage that they have, and everything seems to clear up by itself. So we might have a spot where, hey, I can do this, and I'm always going to return it at the 31. All right, well, if you're always going to return it at the 31, that means every time we play against you, we're going to kick the ball through the end zone. I'm not going to give you 1 yard I don't have to give you. So if your average return is 31.6, you're not getting that ball. I'm going to kick it through the end zone. That's what you don't want to have happen if you're the NFL.
Look, I was excited that they were trying something. I think a lot of people were like, oh, what is this going to look like? And I think the returns are just, it's far too early. It's preseason. Like we've talked about, some teams are telling their kickers, just kick it through the end zone. We don't want to give anything away. This could be an advantage in the early part of the season for certain teams. How long it will be an advantage remains to be seen. I mean, if all of a sudden Tyreek Hill is just exploding, if he's back there, for instance, and he's exploding through and getting the Chiefs unbelievable record-setting starting field position, you know, I'd also have to go back and look and say, do we really want this? Is this something we want? It can be an entertaining play, but is it changing the face of football too much? All of a sudden, if scores are changing and games are being played in the 50s and 60s because of this rule, I'd have to say, we got to get rid of this rule. That's not football then. We've screwed up too much. We've been so proactive in trying to make this entertaining that while, yeah, you can make it entertaining, but is it changing the formula of football so much so that we don't recognize the sport anymore?
If they were to, I think you're going to give up a lot of home run touchdowns, kick return touchdowns on opening week. I do think there's still going to be like three or four, and it's going to be nuts.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, Cleveland to Seattle direct is, outside of going to Hawaii or Alaska, as long of a flight out of Hopkins as you can have in this country, correct?
I did not know that.
What would be longer?
It's four and a half hours. Going there, it's going to be longer,
I think it's longer
than coming back.
Yeah, I think
right?
It's even longer than
the
that.
The jet stream, maybe.
Well, that's what it's all
Kenny's
about.
Kenny's going to be dealing with that this weekend, helping out with the Browns' last preseason game.
Yes.
And Kenny, in the past, we in this segment, we like to help everybody out.
Marody for the Browns.
How are you going to pull that off sober, since this is a business trip?
I've never been on a flight without a buzz, because I'm a terrible flyer. I'm not a terrible flyer. I'm just afraid to fly. Like, I don't make a scene. I just sit there and just be scared and just stare at the seat in front of me until it's done. Like, I can't use that term on the radio because people take it wrong. There's like a, did you see the trend online? There's like guys who will just sit on a flight and they'll be coming like from Cleveland to Orlando.
They call it raw dogging.
I can't say that.
And I don't believe it. I believe it's more of a trend that people are talking about.
You think they lie about that
trend? I think it's a total lie. There's no reason to do it. There's nobody, especially if they're TikTokers, where they all their entire life based on short attention span.
Yeah.
And they're going to sit there for 5 hours and stare at a screen.
But I basically,
not stare at a screen. They're going to stare at the back of a chair.
I basically do that. I will hold a magazine I've been on a long flight before. I flew from Jamaica 2 years ago to Midway. That was 5 hours. That was a big one. So I had that. I just hold on to a magazine, but I always have, I'm not gonna lie, I have a few drinks, and I've had people go, well, I have some gummies. I'm like, I've told you guys before, I don't do the gummies, which every time I say don't do the gummies, It's almost the same thing when I tell people I don't have pork chops. You don't have them the right way. I just need a way. Can somebody give me a soothing mechanism that doesn't involve my usual soothing mechanism, which is Jack Daniels before I get on a plane? Because I am not getting on a business flight having Jack Daniels before I get on that plane. That is not going to happen. Figure me out, please.
Well, I mean, obviously you...
Is there a technique?
Well, you can go the route of watching whatever shows or whatever you want to watch. Kenny, you're a big documentary buff.
I do.
I mean, you can handle a lot of the nerves, the anxieties by, you know, simply pulling that up. But, you know, you've always had that at your disposal, right? I mean, you've always had the ability to do that.
Yeah.
On a flight. You've just chose to drink to help that whole process out.
Yeah, well, I'm not fall down drunk on a plane because I know they'll throw me off the thing. But you get a buzz going, and so I can just withstand it a little bit better, and I can deal with all the... Yeah, you know, the turbulence and the whatnot and all that other stuff that I don't want to deal with. And so that's basically I didn't start flying until my honeymoon. My honeymoon was the first flight I ever was on. And I thought it would get better. It's not gotten better. On the way back on our flight, the last flight we were on, where the hell were we coming from Florida? Like there was that drop out of the air and I thought we were going down. Split second, I was like, oh my God, this thing's going down. Right over the city of Cleveland. Like we were making our descent like... coming right over downtown Cleveland, getting ready to make the approach. And it did this like really weird drop. And I went, oh my God, that's it. I'm a dead man. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what other alternatives. I mean, crossword puzzle, books. I can't read a book on an airplane. It really messes me up.
Do you have a mantra you can say, Ken? That'll help calm you down.
What's a mantra?
Just, you know.
Like
A simple little, maybe like a little chant that helps calm you down.
3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, yeah. What the heck is bothering me?
Maybe, you know, quote some lyrics from a song that will help calm you down. Maybe in your head you just...
get on the flight?
Oh, yeah.
For 5 hours?
Listen. It was 19. I did get caught singing a Michael Stanley song by Michael Stanley once, so I guess my shame is gone. Like, if I'm sitting there whooping it up about the Browns in front of the Browns. Oh, gosh, I'm nervous.
But is it going to be different if you're flying out there knowing you're going to see Deshaun versus knowing you're not going to see Deshaun?
Oh, I'll feel a lot calmer if I know that I'm not going to see Deshaun on the field on Saturday. If I know that he's going to be on the field on Saturday, there's going to be some Hail Marys. And it ain't going to be just about the flight. Can't lose him. Can't. There's no way. There's no way.
He has to throw Hail Marys right off the rip. Guys, he can throw under routes.
If they lose him again, they're not making the playoffs again. That's not going to happen. Lightning is not striking twice. It was a perfect storm last year. They turned the ball over more times than you've had a hot last year. I'm telling you right now, there's no way. It can't happen twice. Not 2 years in a row. So I can't lose him. So if he's playing on Saturday... there's going to be a little bit of a nervous Kenny Carmen getting on the plane anyway. I'm going to be a lot nervous Kenny Carmen getting on the plane on whenever we're going. I don't actually know off the top of my head. We're going sometime. I imagine at some point Jason Gibbs is going to come in here and put a bag over my head and we're just going to run out a door. And that's the way it's going to go. Demos and Shaker, hello.
Good morning. Hey, I have a suggestion for your getting over your flying thing. Why don't you listen to some self-hypnosis on YouTube and stuff like that? They got that specifically for that. You know, improving golf, this and that. You put it on at night, you fall asleep to it, and it puts the power of suggestion into your head about not being as afraid of flying. You should try it. Don't knock it.
Wouldn't I have done that with eating before?
I don't know. Maybe you just like to eat. You don't like to fly. Okay,
so let's
don't associate something you like with something you don't like. Okay,
ooh.
Just work on the flight stuff by yourself at night. Liz, you know, you might have to put in earbuds or something like that to listen to it.
Okay.
You'll fall asleep. The power of suggestion is strong.
Okay.
That's my advice to you,
Kenny. That's great advice. Thank you
very much.
Sound
like good advice, yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. Someone said take Benadryl or Dramamine when flying.
Yeah, I've always heard that. I think I tried it once. It didn't really do much for me.
I just don't want to wake up in a fog because it's going to be earlier there. And I kind of want to, once we get off the plane, I'm going to thank God that the plane landed. I'm dead serious about that. And then I kind of want to see the sights. I've never been out west. So I'm going to do touristy things. I'm going to go see them throw the fish. I don't want to be thrown a fish, but I'm going to go see them throw the fish. I want to see all of it, man. We'll see it all. Brian Hoyer coming up at 9. Does he have anything that he can tell me on a Browns team flight that I be calm down about? Because I can't, guys. I can't.
He's been on a flight or two to Seattle even.
You guys know me. I like a drink or two. I can't be hitting the hooch before I go on a plane for business. That ain't going to happen. Lord almighty.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.